I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Across the blue line, makes his way left circle. Very right circle. Short feet, Hedman right point. Left point, Stamkos. Stamkos steps to the left circle. Centers and score! Perry on a tip! Boy, kind of a shot pass from Stamkos to Perry. It's 1-0 Lightning.
Dave Mishkin with the call on the Tampa Bay Lightning Radio Network. Corey Perry still with the only goal of the game. Lightning leading the Panthers 1-0 with 3 minutes left in the second period. Tomorrow, the Oilers play later on tonight. It's going to be the Blues and the Avalanche in game two of that series, game two of Carolina and the Rangers tomorrow. You can get tickets to the Safeway road game watch party on the Oilers website. $5. Tickets will, the doors will open at 7:30 tomorrow. So you can come watch the game on the big screen. I was happy yesterday. I'm a little speck up in the broadcast booth. Somebody was waving to me. I don't know how they spotted me. Maybe they were waving to somebody else, but they appeared to be waving in my direction because when I waved back, they waved more vigorously. So that was a nice surprise for me because I'm camped out in the broadcast booth for the road game watch parties. All right, 780-496-0063. David, thanks for staying on hold there. What's going on? David, do we have you, sir? We do not have David. David, call back if you're out there and you want to talk. 780-496-0063 as we get you ready for the Oilers and the Flames tomorrow night. 6 o'clock for the face-off show, and the game will start, well, probably closer to 8:45 tomorrow night. So it is going to be another late one. Hey, if you know someone who is a massive Oilers fan, then go ahead and nominate them to win a pair of Oilers playoff tickets for Game 4 of the Battle of Alberta. That's going to be on Tuesday the 24th. We're taking nominations at 630ched.com. We want to hear about the Oilers super fan in your life and why they deserve to win a pair of tickets to a playoff game. Go to the super fan contest at 630ched.com, and the super fan contest is presented by Sentinel Storage. So there we go. That is pretty cool. Get somebody the much coveted playoff tickets for Game 4. So talking about the starts, which will continue to be something that is emphasized for the Oilers, Jay Woodcroft did say that Mike Smith will start in net tomorrow. That is not a surprise to me. And Smith says he just needs to get back in there and execute.
It's the playoffs. There's no excuses at this point. There's no, you want to play your best hockey at this time of the year. I've said it numerous times, and it's a long series. It's a long series that stuff can happen throughout the course of the series. It's about staying the course and not letting, you know, games like that affect you mentally and physically. And you know, I feel as good as I felt all season long. So it's not about that. It's about getting the job done when you've been given the opportunity. And but no panic in your game. That's one game. We learn from it and move on.
Mike Smith really took control of the net for the Oilers sort of starting late March and through April. Played most of the games, though we still saw Mikko Koskinen get spot duty along the way. In the playoffs, it's been Smith starting every night, every second night since we started back on May the 4th. Woodcroft was asked if he thinks Mike Smith is getting fatigued.
Well, I don't think so. I think for Mike, you know, he didn't play a lot of hockey this year compared to a regular normal season for Mike Smith. So, you know, the accumulation of rest, and while he was injured, but the accumulation of rest over his first 4 or 5 months of the season, I think sets him up to play good hockey down the stretch. He's been excellent for us. Last night, I didn't think our team was anywhere where it needed to be. You know, he didn't play many minutes last night, but he'll be going back in tomorrow.
Doesn't surprise me. I think you got to go back to Smith. His puck moving hopefully will help ward off the Calgary forecheck to some extent. If Smith has another poor or substandard start, then maybe you have to think about Koskinen for game three. But in my mind, it was a no-doubter that you're going back with Mike Smith. All right, we got Ron on the Certainty hotline. Ron, go ahead.
Hey, Reid, how you doing?
Quite well.
Good. Hey, I'm just on the highway, so if you lose the call, it's just because I went in a depth. But one of your earlier callers was just saying that, you know, he's wondering why the old Oilers were so successful. For me, it's and all the current problems are the lineup changes, and it's the, you know, constant changing of our lineup. And players need confidence. They need to know who they're playing with, and if game time they're on a different line, it's hard to mentally get into the game. Then you're thrown into the early part of the game and you're with a new player, and I just, you go back to the success for the Oilers in the early days, Gretzky and Curry played together almost their whole career. So did Messier and Anderson.
Well,
and,
but Gretzky got cycled through a lot of different lines too, Ron, from what I remember. I mean, he played close to half the game.
Okay. But the other thing then is I look at other teams in the league. You know, Marchand and Bergeron, and you could just name successful pairs that always played together. And if I look at the other teams in the playoffs right now, who's shaking up the lineup as much as the Oilers have? The way I look at it too, Reid, is, you know, 20 games ago, we were just outside of the playoffs. Woodcroft came in, he kind of figured out a lineup that worked, and he pretty much left it. And the Oilers went on a huge run to the end of the season, you know, ended up in second place. And for me, when you've got players playing with confidence in a lineup that works, good or bad, the best thing he could have done was just left that lineup for the rest of the playoffs. And at least those guys know, hey, we did this. We went 30 games and we had an amazing run. And then they play with confidence. And you start moving all those guys around, and then they start a game, and then all of a sudden they're behind, and they're looking at each other, well, I'm with new guys, and I'm, you know, what do you do compared to the other guys that I've played with? And I think you're, you know, a professional is, sure, they can bounce around once in a while, and maybe if Puljujärvi wasn't doing well with Kane and McDavid, he struggled in the early games of the LA series. Well, move him off, put Cassian on that line, but you make one or two little changes, but you keep the core lineup that you were successful with. And
okay.
To me, it's no surprise that they're struggling.
All right, Rod, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I got other guys on hold, and you did a good job explaining your point. I get what you are saying, Ron, and I think there's an argument there to be made. My counter argument would be, you know, the Oilers did go with 11-7 at times during the regular season, and they did it in the series against the Los Angeles Kings, and they played pretty well. I do agree with you that there can be maybe a little bit like, well, I'm used to having this guy as my winger, and now he's only my winger, 10 shifts out of 18 in a game as opposed to 15 out of 18. I do think that's a defendable part of your argument for sure. But I also think the Oilers have succeeded where they've had a lot of blended lines and McDavid bouncing all over the place as well. Tim is on the line too. Tim, thanks a lot for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I've heard a lot, so much about the start of the game, and yeah, rightfully so, it was brutal. But I don't think enough is being said about. I just want to make two quick points. First of all, did you think when it was 5-1, the Oilers were going to make it a tie game 6-6 by the end of the second period? That was remarkable that they were able to do that. First of all, and secondly, if you're Calgary, You just gave up a 5-1 lead in the second period. It was 6-6 at the end of the second period. The looks on their faces when it was 6-6, it was priceless. What are your comments about that? I don't think enough was being made about that.
Rob and I talked about it last night. I will always credit the Oilers for fighting back. Any team that is behind and fights back, good for them. I think that a big part of it was Markstrom having an off night as opposed to the Oilers applying a ton of pressure. And I also think, yes, kudos that they came back, and it was early in the third period, by the way, not at the end of the second, but still. And I said this to Rob last night, and this happens a lot in other sports too. You put so much energy into the comeback, just tying the game feels like a victory, and then you can't take the lead. And that happened to Edmonton last night, less than 2 minutes after they tied it. So, Tim, I think you're trying to look on the bright side, which I appreciate, and it would have been awesome if the Oilers could have stolen that game. But to me, more things to work on than positives to take out of that game for the Oilers. That's just my opinion. Tony is on the line as well. Tony, go ahead.
Hey, Reed. Tony here.
Yep.
Hey, listen, first things first, I'd rather lose the first one than the last one. Okay?
Sure.
We ran into this with the Kings. I still play hockey. I'm 40 years old. I'm same age as Mike Smith. Goaltending, hockey, it's a mental game too. These guys took this long break, and it isn't that long, but it's long enough that we know our Oilers, if they take too long of a break, they come out slow. And here we are, they had not only a longer break than Calgary, they walk into a stadium that's bumping. This is Alberta, right? Respect our cousins a little bit. They were pumping up the Flames huge. And when they paused after the Canadian anthem, and it was go Flames go, go Flames go, you know, their blood, their mind, everything's just what is going to happen here. We're hyping up the Battle of Alberta, and we should be. And we've seen our guys come out, and they came out with a poor start. Mike Smith, God bless him, he didn't run down the hallway scared. He stood with his team, and he had that look like, man, he took responsibility for what happened. Koskinen got to jump in. He got to play in the playoffs now. We tested everything. We felt them out. We came back. We tied it. And, yeah, the last caller just said, you know, it feels like a victory. It does. And they got caught off guard. Whatever. Lost the first one. We're not going to lose the last one. These guys are going to get ramped up. We're playing tomorrow. They're back into their timing. Game every other day. And that energy, that room, this young blood, they're going to feed off that. They don't want to feel that again. Right?
Right
so
on.
Let's back our guys. Thank God.
Right on. Yep. No, I appreciate it, Tony. 780-496-0063 is the CertainTeed hotline. We also have Ryan standing by. Ryan, it's all yours.
Hey, Reed. First-time caller. Love your show. Love listening to you and Rob.
Thanks.
A couple thoughts here. So one thing, I know Bob mentioned this on his show earlier, and as much as I don't see it happening for game two, I think it could be something to watch. I'd love to see Holloway get in. I know practice time and stuff like that, like,
yep,
plays in. But I think he'd come out of a cannon. I think he's someone that could help save Nuge from his 5-on-5 play, because that's been pretty bad. The other, yep, thing, and again, this is something I don't see happening, but and again, the Oilers, I think last night showed you have guys like Chris Russell and stuff just going off the glass, and I love Chris Russell, but it's just a punt every time. I would love to see Nima Linen play against Calgary. He's big, physical. He's the exact type of guy who could.
You're the third person who said that to me. I don't know, man. I don't see it. I think they'll go 12-6 first. And honestly, I think Broberg would get in before Nieman Leinen. If I'm wrong, I will admit I'm wrong. But that's kind of how I
think Broberg is the better player. I just feel like Nieman Leinen's one of those guys, you know, he'll take a run at Lucic. He'll take a run at Goudreau. And the Oilers really haven't shown any of that. Like, last night, Cassian had zero hits. Like, when McDavid's, yep, leading your team in hits, like, that's just an issue. So, again, long shot. I think I'd love to see it. Even if, you know, it goes down 2-0, just throw some guys in there who are going to, you know, come out with something.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
crew.
Okay.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate the calls from everybody. I got to quickly visit with Dave Campbell when we get back to Inside Sports. Appreciate you tuning in tonight. In about 50 minutes, we're going to meet a young man by the name of Declan Lord. He's a 13-year-old umpire in the Sherwood Park Minor Baseball Association, and he umpires games from his wheelchair. He is a really cool story, and he's going to tell us about his career, and he's going to tell us why he needs to use a wheelchair, and he's a pretty inspirational young man. That's coming up around 7:45 tonight. Dave Campbell's the producer of this show. He's been watching the Oilers, of course, and covering the Edmonton Elks, Dave, who, thanks to something that happened, I guess, about 24 hours ago, are going to keep going uninterrupted yes. here.
That's right, because we have a CBA finally. We don't have to talk about this stuff. I finish up here in about, 10 minutes time, or I guess less than that. If it's 10 minutes time, I'd be cutting into the news, and the newsroom would get mad at me. But, CBA tentatively agreed to last night between the league and the players. And it still has to be ratified by both the governors of the CFL and the PA. It's going to get ratified. Reed, I'll just be straight out here. And I've seen a few CBA deals in my time covering the Elks and the CFL. By far the best deal I've ever seen the players are able to secure. They went on strike, well, 7 of the 9 teams, because they were in a legal position to do so. The Elks and the Stamps were not, so that's why they kept going. But the pressure point they put on the league, and the big pressure point was losing a preseason game. And in the preseason, you don't have to pay players, game checks. So whatever revenue you generate, the team gets it, the league gets it, right? And in Regina, there was supposed to be a preseason game on Monday against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That's been moved to May 31st. That was the pressure point. So you look at things like meaningful increase of the salary cap. It's going to go up $100,000 each year for 6 years starting next season. Better medical benefits by year 3 of the deal. Access to all revenues, including Grey Cup. They have the ability to audit the numbers. They've been wanting to look at the CFL financial books for a long time, and they said no. Well, now they get to audit. They actually get to go into and look at the books. They actually get a seat at the table when it comes to how they grow the league revenue-wise and as a business. It's just one seat. But before yesterday, the CFLPA wasn't involved in any of those discussions. By year 3 of a 3-year contract, you can negotiate, as a veteran, 50% of your deal to be guaranteed money. So we have a little bit of guaranteed, it's not a lot, but we have guaranteed money in some. Now, this is a little weird, but this won't happen until next year. 8 starting Canadians, one whom is a nationalized American, a veteran American.
Oh.
So 3 years with the same team or 5 years in the league. And this is where it gets kind of funky, and I hope they kind of tweak this because this is confusing. 3 other nationalized Americans can play up to 49% of all snaps on offense or defense. So I hope the football ops cap
who's will counting
allow
for all
one coach to be hired to track this. Yeah, exactly. Who's tracking all this stuff? Apparently it's going to be tracked after each game. Someone is going to go okay. in there and actually do an audit. And here's another big thing, and the players did very well here. The CBA was always a pressure point when it comes to the league to the players. Well, the CBA is going to expire a day before camp, so we'll make you sign any deal we want you to. The PA got in this next deal, which is 7 years, the CBA expires 1 month prior to the start of training camp. That is amazing. So the players did very, very well here.
Okay. In the final minute here, Dave, a lot of people ask me who the Elks quarterback is. What's going on?
Well, they have 6. Other than that, I can't tell you anything more than that.
You can't have the ball on the field.
No, you can't. And that's why I'm anticipating the preseason game next Friday, because that'll tell some stories. But I'll tell you right now, the two vets, Nick Arbuckle especially, and Taylor Cornelius, they look pretty good. And they got some young arms in there, too, that have shown well. So lots to be decided. And we're going to get our first look at it in 8 days from now. And I can't wait.
Dave, thanks for the update. Have a good night.
Thank you, Reed. Talk to you soon.
Dave Campbell, likes the CBA agreement for the CFL. Everybody back at it. Other teams did shut down. Elks and Stamps were still going. And Elks have a game on 6:30 Chet next Friday. How about that? Back after the 7 o'clock news and weather. More on the Oilers. We'll talk some Oil Kings as well.
Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 6:30 Chad.